Hello and welcome to the Practice Drill Podcast, episode 48. Today, we've got two deciders coming up in the next 5 days. The first one being tonight with the Queensland Maroons hosting the New South Wales Blues at Suncorp Stadium in the big decider of the 2022 State of Origin Series. Then we also talk about England and the Wallabies taking on in that decider here in Sydney come Saturday night, which should be a ripper. And then we finish off with our bullet pass round. Shout out to Sencho, as always, for introducing my good mate Blaze McKee. Blaze, a couple of really interesting matchups to sink our teeth into today, and it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, definitely. You know, deciders are always, I guess, an exciting part of these three-match series, and we've got two of them coming up this week.
It's a marketing dream for both codes here in Australia. Guys, if you'd like to stay up to date on all things NRL, AFL, rugby union, cricket, and NBA basketball, go and follow us on Twitter at @T_practicedrill. Been really active there, getting a lot of you up to date on those sports. But remember, when you check out our stuff, just give us a follow while you're at it so that you know, you can stay up to date with all that stuff. Don't have to jump around all these other accounts to stay up to date. You can just go straight to @T_practicedrill. But Blaze, let's get right into it. I don't think I can wait much longer, and I don't think much of Australia can with Origin 3, or mainly the east coast of Australia, with Origin Game 3, the decider to be held at Suncorp Stadium at 8:10 tonight. Really exciting. You know, Queensland, you know, on home soil, but heavy, heavy underdogs. You know, at over $3 when you're looking at the betting markets, and New South Wales. Just a few things in terms of the build-up to this final game. It has maybe gone their way a little bit. I'm trying not to be too biased. Maybe a thing or two have gone their way, and it's going to help them be really nicely prepared for this decider to win what would be their second consecutive series. I'll just give it over to you, mate. Like, what are your expectations ahead of this big decider?
Yeah, it's been a really interesting series. I think game one and two were two vastly different games, and obviously the results were different, but also how each game, you know, panned out were really different. And I think we spoke about it earlier, that's probably a reflection on both the sides. And in game three, if New South Wales can, I guess, break it open a bit earlier and you know, get the ball to their really exciting back line, you know, they'll hopefully run away with it. But Queensland, on the other hand, you know, they love to play with that heart and aggression and probably have a bit more of a physical game. And obviously playing at Suncorp, they're going to have, you know, a lot of screaming fans really backing them. So there are a lot of factors that are going into this game that I think is going to make it a really great one.
Oh, I cannot wait. But let's just go through the team lineups, and we'll start off with the home side with Ponga in the one jersey, 2 Selwyn Cobbo, 3 Valentine Holmes, 4 Dane Gagai, 5 Corey Oates. Maybe we'll just stop as we go through it. Corey Oates brought into the side with Murray Tulangi being ruled out due to COVID. In my opinion, as a Queenslander, Oates was the guy I wanted from, you know, game two. He was in the mix that game one when they were battling between him and Xavier Coates, especially because Coates had to go out of position onto that left wing where Oates naturally plays for the Broncos. Probably got snubbed a little bit there, and I think Billy just wanted to get that Cowboys combo between Tulagi and Holmes on that left-hand side. But Oates comes in, and I'm really excited to see how he goes. Another person coming in, but this time making their debut, is Tom Dearden. He's listed here as playing the number 6, and we'll get to it shortly. But if you're going off these team lists here, he'll be partnering with the captain, Daly Cherry-Evans, in the halves. You've got Lindsay Collins at 8, Ben Hunt at 9, Josh Papali'i at 10, Kirk Capewell 12, Jeremiah Nanai to make his first start in the Origin Arena in the number 12 jersey, and Tino Fa'asul Maliawi at lock. And the bench is Harry Grant, Jai Arrow, Patrick Carrigan, and Tom Gilbert to round out the bench and also to make his debut. And for New South Wales, is the skipper James Tedesco at 1, Brian Toto at 2, Matt Burton at 3, Stephen Crichton at 4, Daniel Tupou at 5, Jerome Luai at 6, Nathan Cleary at 7, Jacob Saifidi to make his Origin debut in the number 8 jersey after, you know, a really interesting situation around that jersey. Appy Korosau 9, Jake Travojevic 10, Cam Murray 11, Liam Martin 12, Isaiah 13, and the bench the same as game 2 with Damian Cook at 14, Angus Crichton 15, Junior Paulo 16, and Siosifa Talakai 17. Two really strong squads as always, but Blaze, let's get into the first things that stand out on the New South Wales side. I just touched upon it. Jacob Saifidi coming in to make his Origin debut. Due to a few things almost going his way, with Jordan McLean picked for how outstanding he is defensively, but does his hamstring early in the week, which is probably better for New South Wales than, you know, that happening, you know, Monday, Sunday kind of, and you got to rush someone in. Are you confident about this selection that Freddie's made?
Yeah, I think I'm confident. You know, obviously there's so much star power around Saifidi that I don't think he has to do too much. As you say, McLean was brought in maybe more for his defensive capabilities, and Saifidi, I guess that will be his main role as well. If he can just tackle well and I guess, you know, take some tough carries through the middle, I think he'll be all right. As you say, it has been a pretty interesting build-up. You know, wasn't originally in the 17, but then brought in. But yeah, I think, you know, luckily, I guess, for New South Wales, the injury to McLean, obviously unfortunate, but happened pretty early, you know, in the build-up. So it's not like Saifidi's just been brought in, you know, with a couple of days to go. He has had a bit of time to, I guess, you know, soak it all in, and he has been in the squad. So,
yeah,
I think he'll do a great job there.
It's going to be interesting to see how he goes, because he's obviously, not only is he, you know, stepping in the shoes of Jordan McLean, but also in the shoes of Payne Haas. And that's, you know, some big shoes to fill. You know, somewhat of a similar build, but it's just the experience that Payne Haas brings to this arena and just how mentally strong he is. So it'll be a good test to see how Saifidi goes. On the Queensland side, you know, quite a few changes. I spoke about Oates before, but two debutants coming into an Origin decider. What do you think about this? Do you think it's probably not ideal to be debuting people in, you know, a decider, but it is on home soil and might make the task a little bit easier?
Yeah, definitely that home advantage will be a bit of an easier one. But having said that, you know, if Munster's available, he's definitely playing. Yeah. And then obviously Turlangi was named, so he would be in there. And then I think, you know, Gilbert, I've really been enjoying, I guess, watching, you know, the Cowboys this year. And it's pretty crazy in this segment, little segment we've already named. You know, McLean's obviously injured, but he's a Cowboys guy. Dearden from the Cowboys. Gilbert from the Cowboys. Chad Townsend was brought into the New South Wales squad from the Cowboys. So it's been pretty incredible to watch them this year. I think everyone's loving, you know, how they're going about it. And I guess, you know, it does show there's been a lot of chat, I guess, with, you know, the Josh Addo Cars about, you know, the effect that just your club has on State of Origin. And I guess them being successful at Clubland and playing a really exciting brand has had a really positive impact on a lot of their guys becoming rep players this year, and that's going to be really exciting to see. Yeah, Tommy Dearden and Gilbert, you know, go about it for Queensland.
I don't think we've ever seen a year of State of Origin where club performance in terms of a team as a collective has ever had more of an effect on the selecting. You know, Josh Adakar, if I was to say to you, and I think we've said this before on the podcast, if I was to come to you at the start of the year and go, okay, Blaze, NRL season starts this week, you know, who are your first three players you're picking for New South Wales? You'd probably go, you know, Cleary, Tedesco, Adokar. You know, those might be the first three names that you pick. He doesn't get picked because the Bulldogs are struggling. They have started to play good footy, and I don't think he's struggled at all. So, you know, he has had to miss out. And like, to your point, you know, not only is, you know, the names that you listed from the Cowboys, but you also got Valentine Holmes, you got Jeremiah Nanai. You know, you've got a lot of experience now coming into that Cowboys team, and not only have a lot of them made their debut or just started, you know, making a name for themselves in the Origin arena, it's that the team's only going to build from that. So scary times ahead if you're facing the Cowboys. We spoke about Oates returning. I believe that's actually probably, with Oates and Gilbert, I think those are upgrades. It's no knock on Tom Dearden. I think he's been unbelievable, and I think, you know, if he has a great game tonight, it's probably one of the great stories of an individual player. A couple of years at the Broncos, could barely keep his spot in the starting lineup just due to all the turmoil going on at the club. Finds his way to North Queensland, and now he's just turned himself into an Origin player. So if he stands up for Queensland tonight, I think that's going to really help them go on with the win, especially because you'd have to think, with Munster not being there, a lot of traffic going towards DCE. So going to need a big game from him. on New South Wales side, obviously we've already spoken about similar teams and the McLean injury, but I guess with Jacob Safidi coming in, it also, you know, sparks the question, what's happened to Regan Campbell-Gillard? Was there in game one, didn't have a bad game in my opinion, but him and Ryan Madison gone. Now the rumour is that there was a little bit of argy-bargy between them and the Penrith boys, obviously, you know, to those Western suburbs sides that, you know, are not a fierce rivalry, but there's a rivalry there. And obviously, you know, just don't seem to click. Do you think that's actually the case, or do you think there's a little bit of mayo on this story?
Yeah, it's really hard to know. Obviously, I think Freddie Fittler came out and said that, you know, those two guys probably don't quite fit the mould of the style of game New South Wales are going to be playing. You know, I think that's a bit of an interesting explanation as well. Then there's obviously all the rumours about the Panthers guys. And, you know, I guess with so many Panthers guys in there, I guess maybe the decision was made to, you know, keep them happy. But, yeah, it's really impossible to know. But it definitely is a pretty strange omission, I think, you know, to think he was basically obviously in the top two props to start the series, or that's what Fittler thought, and then now he's not even really in the top, you know, five, I guess, with all the injuries and whatnot. So it is definitely an interesting one, and maybe some more stories will come out, maybe, you know, once the series finishes or in years to come. But I think from the outside, it's really probably impossible to know for certain, but it's definitely an interesting storyline.
Yeah, I think Freddie's been a terrible liar in this situation. I mean, you know, you say RCG doesn't fit the mould of the side. How does Jacob Saifidi fit that role? How does Payne Haas fit that mould? You know, I think Payne Haas is a great player. Definitely, you know, probably the best out of the three names I just listed. But RCG is a big mobile body. There's a damaging forward. And I just don't see how it could be anything to do with how he performs on the field. It would have to be some rivalry. Obviously, you go back to last year where Parramatta and Penrith had, you know, one of the great finals games where Penrith were able to pip them late and go on to win the premiership. I think it's just one of those situations where that kind of hasn't left the Parramatta boys. And as we all know, whether it's deliberate or not, the Penrith boys are a little bit chirpy, and I'm sure that just hasn't gone the right way, because I don't know how Ryan Madison, who's been one of the best forwards in the competition, plays one Origin game, gets dropped, don't quite know what he did wrong, and then RCG comes back into the team for one game, dropped, and they also lost. So I think there's definitely something that's happened there. On a minor note, you spoke about Chad Townsend coming in. He came in for the COVID-ridden Nicho Hynes, but he has been named to play for the Sharks this weekend, so a real positive there, but disappointing for him to not have another game of experience in the New South Wales squad. On to Queensland, we've spoken about it, plenty of changes, Murray and Munster out due to COVID, but it's a big challenge ahead for Queensland tonight. You know, obviously, the record speaks for itself at Suncorp, you know, winning 7 out of the 9 times there's been a decider there when Queensland have won game one, lost game two, and then one game or gone on and won game three at Suncorp. So that's where that statistic's coming from, 7 out of 9 times. Those two times that they've lost, 1994 and 2005. So quite a while ago, but I'm sure, you know, a lot has changed since then. This is a stronger New South Wales side on paper, and it's just about trying to put that onto the field. But with Munster being out, that's where the big challenge comes for Queensland. And I ask you this, Blaze, you know, when the news came out, I was on my way to the Swans game, heartbroken for a couple of days there. But does Queensland have the right to use Munster as an excuse for being out if they do go on to lose tonight?
Yeah, obviously, you know, I'm a New South Wales fan, so I would definitely say it's not an excuse. I'd probably point to, you know, Trbojevic and Mitchell also being out for New South Wales. Obviously not halves, but, you know, still some pretty important cogs. I think for Queensland, he's obviously been, you know, was probably their best player in game one or close to it. And something that will be missing for them is that little bit of X factor in the halves, or that ability to really break the game open in those really tight moments. You know, for me, I guess I'd probably just sum it up by saying, you know, it's probably not an excuse, but it could be a little what if, you know, a little what if that might linger in the mind, I guess, post this series. And I guess that's the beauty of a three-game series, the nature of State of Origin, where it's in the middle of, you know, the season with all injuries, and now I guess COVID's added another spanner to that works. But there's always a few storylines and what ifs that come out of every series, and unfortunately this is a really big one. So I think Queensland are going to have to lift hugely, but I wouldn't say, you know, it's an excuse to, I guess, lose a series, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree. You know, I totally understand where you're coming from when you're talking about, you know, Luttrell and Turbo being out, injured, or, you know, with Luttrell at the moment just, you know, withdrawing his name from the hat due to him just coming back from injury. But for me, it's more like, imagine New South Wales are a beer, right? You got the froth on top, and that's Luttrell and Turbo, right? You whack that froth off, there's still the whole beer left to go. And that's the depth that New South Wales have. You get rid of that, who do you have? You have Katoni, you have Stephen Crichton, you have Matt Burton, you have Zach Lomax. So it's just, it goes down and down, where for Queensland in the halves, if you get rid of Cameron Munster from that position, you have Tom Dearden, who hasn't played a game of Origin. You either bring Ben Hunt to that position, who doesn't play six, or you bring Sam Walker in, who isn't playing six at the moment. Or no, he is playing six at the moment, but he's probably a seven. And then where do you go from there? So I think where I think it's an excuse is the lack of depth that Queensland have in that department, because Cameron Munster's been there for so long. I do understand that the injury and the superstar for superstar kind of trade-off there. And you could argue New South Wales missing two superstars to Queensland's one. But the thing is that I often believe at the moment for Queensland to win a series, they almost need everything to go their way. And that's not talking about penalties. And I'm talking about players being healthy and capitalising on moments. And that's, for New South Wales, usually it just needs one thing to go their way, and bang, they're on a run. Score once, they'll score twice. Where for Queensland, it is a lot harder. So, look, that's where I kind of combat it, but I do get your point. But Blaze, with it being a difficult challenge, if Queensland are to win another series as underdogs, as they did back in 2020, in your opinion, who needs to be the guy? Who's the man that stands up when Cam Munster's out?
Yeah, I think, you know, you'd have to look at his halves partner, DCE. I think, obviously, Dearden's going to be inexperienced. So, yeah, I think a lot of the burden's going to fall on DCE. And I think he's a guy that can do it. He's proven at State of Origin level. He's been really impressive, I think, at Clubland the last 4 weeks. You know, Manly have been struggling, and similar to this new Queensland side, they've been needing a guy to stand up without Trbojevic in there, and I think he's done really well in that position, and I think he's a guy that can do really well in the Queensland jersey as well. Obviously, you had a few words to him a few weeks ago, and he seems pretty up for the game, so yeah, I'd be looking at DCE to stand up.
Yeah, just to give some context to that story, went to watch Manly Melbourne, went down there, and got DC to sign my Queensland jersey, and just told him, mate, go back up to Queensland, mate, and just rip him. And he said, you know, with, you know, some other stuff in there, you know, we'll do. But look, it's great. Got him to sign the better maroon jersey when all the other people handed him those Manly jerseys. For me, the guy who needs to be the man, and I'll, you know, mention him later on in this topic, it's Kalyn Ponga. I think he's had an unbelievable series so far. If you have a look back at game one, he had a try assist and a hockey assist. If you don't know, hockey assist means assisting the guy who gives away the try assist. He did that in game one, and he did the same thing in game two. So he's had his hands on the ball when they've gone wide. He's been able to cause havoc, a couple of line breaks there in game two, right when Queensland were playing really well. So I think he needs to be the big one. And I honestly think Billy Slater's got his hands on him and almost just molded him that little bit to turn him into that perfect fullback. And, you know, as a Queenslander, this is the time, KP. This is the time, if you're listening. I know you're a big listener. This is the time to dethrone James Tedesco as the best fullback in the league. Prove on the biggest stage that you can do it in the underdog Queensland side. So KP's my guy. But Blaze, for New South Wales, killed it in game two. Do think the sin bin helped? We've touched upon that in previous podcasts. But how much does the game plan change from game two to now? Do you think there's any need to change it? They did win, you know, quite convincingly.
Yeah, I don't think the overall game plan is going to change too much. For me, the big factor is Suncorp Stadium. I think it's a weird thing in State of Origin, maybe the last 5 years. We've spoken about it a bit before, but New South Wales team on paper is a lot stronger. So I guess there's almost an expectation that they're going to really roll over them. And I think, you know, Queensland won game one, New South Wales dominated game two, and then it's almost as if, you know, the narrative's gone back to the status quo, when there's almost an expectation, I think, that New South Wales will come out and win this game. But I think Suncorp Stadium is going to provide a real spanner in the works to that. And I think just the environment and energy that they're going to run out to means maybe in the first, you know, 10 or 15 minutes that they might have to, you know, just go real physical and you know, win that early battle. You know, does that mean someone like Saifidi has a huge impact in the first 10? Does someone like, you know, Polo maybe come on a bit earlier and try to get a bit more physical dominance early and then, you know, maybe negate that Suncorp Stadium effect? I don't know. But, yeah, I think Suncorp Stadium is going to be the big factor in this game that maybe not many people are really talking about or are overlooking at this stage.
Yeah, I think they're probably following what you're saying, where there's that expectation. New South Wales are fine. They're the best of the best. I think New South Wales have taken a lot of good teams there. You know, they took an unbelievably better team there in 2020 and lost to, you know, the worst Queensland team in 40 years. So for me, yeah, it does come down to, you know, how do they react at the start? I heard Willie Mason talking the other day on a podcast. I think it was the YKTR podcast, saying, you know, Queensland play mind tricks as soon as you get to Suncorp, because they deliberately wait in the sheds for a couple extra minutes while you run out. They just let the 50,000 plus fans just pile it on you, and they'll put on a montage on the screen of Queensland winning all these Origin games here, and then they'll run out. And he was saying, like, the adulation that the fans, and, you know, I'm one of them, I won't be there, but I will be clapping them on from the TV screen. It's just this mad love and respect for the team, you know, like the All Blacks and that kind of stuff. You know, it's a different level from what I see, from my point of view. It's a different level than what New South Wales do. So yeah, it's going to be a really, really good test for them. You know, there's some players that haven't been in that situation. You know, Jerome Luai, we talk about, you know, he's won three Origin games out of four, I believe. But he's never played a decider at Suncorp Stadium. So that's what's going to be really interesting to see. But, you know, I touched upon it before, the issues that New South Wales have had at Lang Park. You know, it's 37-20 in the head-to-heads at this stadium. As I said, 7 out of 9 times Queensland have won the decider at Suncorp Stadium. But this is the main thing, just before we get to our predictions and move on to the Wallabies. Is the biggest thing about this game is you know, everyone knows it's a decider, winner takes all. But it's about what does it mean in the context of the last 5 years of Origin. And for me, you know, Origin series, they're only three game series, all right? So, you know, you're not always going to see a huge difference in games won between the two sides. But currently, over the last 5 years, Freddie holds an 8-6 lead in head-to-heads, which, you know, doesn't feel as much as what, you know, is always, you know, drummed up to be. But it could go 9-6, which really does open it up a lot. But Queensland, they have a chance to really hurt New South Wales' legacy tonight, make it 8-7 and 3-2 in terms of series over the course of Brad Fittler's reign as coach, but 2-2 in the last 4. How does that make you feel? Like, I know you're more of a rugby fan, but, you know, you're getting into your rugby league, you like it. And, you know, Origin time is huge for everyone who loves sport. But everyone knows New South Wales have been the best team over the last 5 years. You know, they've let a couple games slip, or Queensland have played really well in those games. But 2-2 in the last 4 years, does that give you justice to how it's been, you know, spoken about in the media over the last few years?
Yeah, that's a really interesting stat, and I'd probably look back to, I guess, that Queensland dynasty, you know, in the early to, I guess, mid-2000s there. there were actually a lot of deciders in those series, and that team that is, you know, probably, you know, the greatest Origin team of all time, time and time again came back and won those games when the series was on the line. And as you say, in State of Origin, it's only three matches, so sometimes, you know, the games won is not that difference, but ultimately the series won is the key stat. And if New South Wales come out of this period, which, you know, of dominance, of what it should be, as 2-2 in the last 4 years, it would be really disappointing. And ultimately, these big deciders are the games that can, I guess, either cement that legacy or, you know, wash it away in with time to come.
It's going to make it really interesting. But on the flip, you know, if New South Wales win, as I said, you make it 9-6 in head-to-heads over the last 5 years, 4-1 in series, and 3-1 over the last 4 years. So it really is such a pivotal game in the history of Origin tonight, which makes it, you know, even more exciting to watch. But Blaze, our predictions about this pivotal game, I'll start off with you. We've come up with some multis for you guys, so if you want to jump on them, you might make some value here. Blaze, talk us through what you've gone with in your multi for tonight.
Yeah, I said the narrative is that New South Wales are going to walk over them, and although I think it will be a bit of a battle early, I think New South Wales can get over them. And, you know, I am backing New South Wales 13+.
Wow.
Partly, you know, I do believe it in my heart, but I know it will definitely annoy you if that does come off more than anything. I've got Stephen Crichton, anytime try scorer. James Tedesco, anytime try scorer. I think he's a bit of a lock if New South Wales are going to go well. And then I've chucked Jerome Luai in there.
Back-to-back games.
I just think, you know, if it is to be 13+, he can float through the middle there as he did last game. And I guess the listeners of the Practice Drill podcast will know I'm a huge fan of Jerome and everything he does. So, yeah, I'm backing him big time.
So that'll give you $23 odds for me. This is the winner, guys. So this is the one you want to hop on. Queensland just to win. You know, you're more likely looking at a 1-12 win. But as if I'm going to let a 13+ win for Queensland ruin my multi. So I'm going Queensland to win. I'm going KP, the GOAT, to step up, as I said, have that big game and get across the line. Corey Oates, they look so good when they go left, Queensland. So finding Corey Oates with a little bit of space. I think he'll go over untouched in one of his tries. He might even score two. And I've gone the unders, 39.5. That'll give you $28.25 odds. Now, our man of the matches, you've gone with one of the worst bets I've ever seen. Just talk us through it, mate. It's just terrible.
Yeah, I've gone as safe as possible. I think Nathan Cleary, I think, one, you know, he's an incredible player. If New South Wales are to win, he probably will have a very good game. But I also think, you know, the love affair with Nathan Cleary is real. And yeah, if New South Wales are going to win, I just think he's the easiest and obvious pick to win that award.
So that's $3.75. That's the favourite, which is ridiculous. For me, guys, I've said it again, just said it before, it's Kalen Ponga. All the traffic is going to go towards DCE in this game. Tom Dinh on debut. We can't rely on him to be the guy. I hope he has an outstanding game, but it has to be that guy's played, you know, getting up towards 10 origins. It's Kalen Ponga floating around. It's time for him to shine. $13. If you guys aren't getting on my bets here, I don't know what you're doing. So that's where we're going. Blaze, shake your hand now. Good luck ahead of tonight. We had a lot of fun watching game two together. But let's move on to the next decider. And this time it's an international decider. The Wallabies against England. Heartbreaking. You know, we both weren't able to catch that first half. And once we clicked on, there was a little bit of a hole that the Wallabies were in. And, you know, a disappointing loss to England up at Suncorp Stadium where we'll be tonight.
Yeah, again, you know, there was a late comeback from the Wallabies, which I guess made the score a little bit more flattering. You know, 25-17 doesn't look too bad. But as you say, England were pretty outstanding in the first half. You know, they were up 19-0 after 35 minutes, and then the Wallabies managed to come back with a late try in that first half. But yeah, I think England got back to what they did really well. They dominated the game in the forward pack. You know, Billy Vunipola was really dominant off the back of the scrum, and I think led the game in carries and was able to, you know, get them going forward. And then, you know, they kicked really well. They pinned Australia down in their own half. They kicked a lot of high contestable balls, which is a strategy that you see very often in the Northern Hemisphere that you don't see a lot down here, really testing those back three players under the high ball when there's pressure coming on. And yeah, I think it was a pretty clinical performance from England, particularly, as we said, in that first half. And Owen Farrell kicked 6 penalty goals. You know, real sharp shooter, and you just can't, you know, give away any penalties, you know, almost 45 metres out, it'll be a 3 points. So, yeah, really clinical from England, but, you know, there were some positives for Australia, that second half comeback, and they'll be, I guess, raring to go in Sydney.
Well, I guess one side to flip it towards a positive for the Aussies, you know, when you're giving away 6 penalty goals, and you can put that down to ill discipline, but that's something that you can fix. It's when you're absolutely outclassed is when you know you're in trouble. So, you know, hopefully Rennie can, you know, get into the boys and just tell them, you know, just a few things to fix up. But like you said, it was almost, not only did they put a convincing effort in England, they also almost controlled the game. I guess the only aspect that you can see when you look at the stats as an area that they lost is they only were able to cross the line once, which is a positive for the Wallabies since they got over twice. But, you know, like you said, a late avalanche of points, you know, makes it look better. And that's what England did in game one. But where's the big issue for the Aussies? We spoke about ill discipline, but is there anything else that's going to affect them going into the decider?
Yeah, straight away, you know, their depth's really going to be tested. There were quite a few injuries in the first test. We spoke about those guys. And then, unfortunately, lost 4 more players in the second test. You know, Jordy Bataille and Izzy Parisi in the back line, and then Caden Neville and Scott Searle in the forward pack will be missing for this third test. So they'll be hoping to get a few guys back from that first test, but I think, you know, particularly the second row with Caden Neville going down is going to be a real, I guess, thin area for them. And some young guys, you know, Nick Frost debuted in the second test and is probably going to have to start in the third test. I guess those guys are really going to stand up. And as we say, England look to dominate in the forward pack. So for those new guys coming into the pack, it's going to be a real, you know, test for them.
Well, come on, the Aussies. Now, the key for Game 3 will be, you know, who can impose that game style early. What do you think the Wallabies are trying to do in that opening, you know, 20, 15-minute period?
Yeah, I think, you know, in the first test, Australia were able to, you know, play a bit more freely. The ruck speed was a little bit faster. And, you know, when you get a bit faster ball, you can get, you know, Samu Karevi and those likes the ball with a bit more time, a bit more space, allow them to really get going. You know, the second test, England were, you know, traditional, physical, you know, territory-based game, which is part of, I guess, the reason, you know, for me in particular, I love watching rugby union, international rugby union in particular. There's such a contrast of game styles. So for Australia, yeah, it's all about, you know, speeding the game up and trying to get that ruck speed a little bit quicker. For England, it will be about slowing it down, you know, having penalties, set piece, where their guys can, you know, take their time. They've got a bigger forward pack, so they need a bit more rest there. And yeah, it's going to be really interesting that first 20 minutes to see who can get on top.
Almost reminds you a bit of Origin, eh? With that, you know, New South Wales, just with how quick they are. So, and, you know, Queensland, you know, the tactic is to almost slow them down a little bit, to not allow them just to run you off your feet. Well, I'm really excited to see how the Wallabies go. In this World Cup cycle, I think it's really important for them that they are able to beat these higher placed sides, and England's definitely one of them. You know, but it's just going to be about finding a way to impose your game style when you're up against a physical opponent. That's the hardest thing to do. If you're both fast-flowing teams, it then turns down to how well you can do defensively. But I think for the Wallabies, it's how well can you play in attack? How many times can you manipulate the defense to find the gap and spread it out wide? So I'm really looking forward to it. No way Quade Cooper's making a return here for Game 3.
Nah, Quade's definitely been ruled out. So, yeah, Noah Lelosio will be leading the team around. But
he's been doing really well.
He has been doing really well. And as you say, these 3-match series, we spoke about it with the State of Origin as well. These deciders are what can really, you know, make a legacy for a team. And with the Rugby World Cup coming up, and, you know, obviously the Wallabies want to be in that knockout stage, you know, these Game 3s, deciders, you know, are the closest you can get to mimicking those games. And it's really important to have success in those games and, yeah, come out on top when it's really important and the series is on the line.
But it's not only important for the team as a whole, it's also important for individuals to be like, as you said, we're in the last stage of that World Cup, you know, cycle. It's time for players to put their hand up and show what they can do in the biggest pressure environments. So a really good opportunity for all the Wallabies players. Good luck to them. Also, just before we move on, we haven't got this written down here, but mate, the Irish, what a win.
Yeah, huge win. Love to see that. Obviously, I've spoken about it earlier, but not a big fan of the All Blacks, despite, you know, I've got a lot of family over there, but...
Despite the Kiwi blood.
Yeah, not a big fan of the All Blacks, so love to see the Irish get up there. And yeah, similarly, they're going to a huge Game 3 in Wellington as well, which is going to make for a great day of rugby union.
What time's that game kick off?
That'll kick off at 5 o'clock, and then this game at about 7:30, 7:45, I think.
See, guys, this is why you need to listen to the practice drill. We give you the time and dates that these games are on. Otherwise, you know, rugby will let you down. They won't tell you anything. They just expect you to turn up. So everyone say thanks to Blaze for that. But we'll move on to the bullet pass round. Go the Wallabies and go Queensland. A couple of deciding wins here. Now, the bullet pass round, obviously the segment where we quickly talk about a few topics that we couldn't cover in full, obviously, being a, you know, decider and an origin-based podcast for this week, you know, we probably skimming over a few topics that have been quite big. And I'll start off, Blaze. You know, the NRL have floated extending the play of game past full-time and half-time until the attacking team finishes their set. What do you make of this rule, and do you think it will help the NRL?
Yeah, I like it. Obviously, coming from a rugby union background, I'm quite used to games going to the 84th, 85th minute. Obviously, if a team scores against you in that last set and you lose the game, you're going to be pretty annoyed. But I think it adds an extra layer of excitement. And, you know, something that happens in rugby league quite a lot is in that last minute, the game can turn a little bit negative, particularly in those close ones. And it's... I guess the nature of it is that the close games are usually the biggest games. You know, you look at NRL finals or even State of Origin games. That last minute can be quite negative with players lying on the ball. Refs don't want to blow up a penalty and you know, decide the game with a penalty. So allowing a team just to finish their set, whether it be, you know, they might only get an extra two tackles or that they might get four or five, depending on I guess, the timing. But, yeah, I really like it.
Oh, I really want to add to it, but... You sent me your question my way.
I asked you last week about Nick Kyrgios, and he did make it all the way to the final.
He did.
Finished as runner-up. I guess just what were your overall thoughts on the run? Obviously, a few big moments, a few blow-ups, a lot of great tennis along the way. And, you know, do you think you'll ever be back in that position? And yeah, what your overall thoughts on those few weeks?
It was a great run. Congratulations to Nick and obviously like everyone around him to help him, you know, get to that level. I thought he was unbelievable. I thought he was, you know, really good in the final. I think the only thing is I just feel like for a majority of the game, and I think this is where you got to give credit to Novak Djokovic, is we just didn't see Nick Kyrgios. We didn't see the confidence to, you know, I think he played a couple of, you know, between the legs shots, you know, one underarm serve. We just didn't see the little change-ups that he does that really can either aggravate or take his opponent out of his natural game. And I think, you know, Djokovic just did that to him in return. But really good. And, you know, to answer your question, do I think he'll be there again? I hope so. I don't know. I don't even think he knows. So it's hard to, like, get behind someone who doesn't even know if they're going to be there or maybe even have, you know, aspirations to be back there. You know, he said in his press conference afterwards, you know, that I think someone asked him, does this make you hungrier to continue? And he went, no. It says too much tennis. So, look, I'd like to see the ATP maybe introduce maybe some 3v3 basketball comps just to take Nick away from the sport and just free his mind. Maybe he brings me and a couple, and maybe me and Lukey G we can travel around with him and just play a bit of basketball just to take his mind off the game of tennis. But, you know, congratulations to Nick, and I think all of us here in Australia, or maybe half of Australia, really wants you to be back on that stage. Blaze, you missed out on the Swannies the other night, but we got a very important victory over the Dogs to almost secure a spot in the finals. There's a bit of a gap starting to emerge between 8th and 9th. But how are the expectations going? Yeah, give us an update.
The result, to be honest, had me scratching my head a bit. Yeah, it's one of those seasons. I think the Swans again show that when they're on song, they can be an absolutely dominant side. Great side to watch, obviously high scoring. A lot of exciting players. Yeah, it's a great victory, but again, they've just got to get that consistency, you know, rolling into this back end now. I guess the one really impressive thing, obviously, Buddy Franklin didn't have his best day in front of goal, but the Swans still won pretty impressively. I think earlier in the season, obviously, there was a lot of hype with Buddy coming into his 1,000th goal, but there was a lot of reliance on him up forward. But, you know, guys like Heaney are really coming into their own now. You know, Warner through the midfield. I think Papley's really been impressive. Obviously, took a while to come back after his injury. But that was probably the one really exciting thing is how ruthless they were up front, even with Buddy not being at his absolute best. So I guess we'll finish off with a bit of cricket. We spoke last week about Australia being at the top of the table and beating Sri Lanka in Sri Lanka. They've now gone out and lost the second test by an innings and 39 runs. So pretty substantial loss there. Do you think this is particularly worrying for Australia, or do you think it's maybe just a bit of a sadder reflection on world cricket at the moment and the dominance of home sides, you know, yeah, and the struggles teams are having away from home?
No, I think Australia shot themselves in the foot continuously during this game. They wasted their reviews in the first innings when they were bowling. And then, you know, as the cookie always crumbles, once you waste your reviews, you then get robbed of some clear wickets. I think Australia often can show a little bit of lack of composure. You know, I think back to Headingley against England. I think back to, I can't remember where it was, one of the tests here against India. And now I think about in Sri Lanka there where, you know, they just need to not waste his reviews. Be really, really sure that that's out. You know, don't stand around and, oh, what do you reckon? What do you reckon? You know, you should know if there's been a wicket, or you should be confident that there's a real, real good chance that you can get it. So that's where I think the game went wrong. I don't think it's a reflection on cricket. I feel like that's always been the case. You know, it should be an advantage. What I don't like is teams manipulating pitches, cough, cough, India, to go against their opposition. It should just be whatever pitch rolls out. So, look, that's the way I see it. They got absolutely thumped, which I don't think anyone was expecting, but some positives. Steve Smith got his first century in, you know, well over a year. Loose bus change also was able to turn up, and yeah, so some really good positives out of that, but also you know, the disappointment of ending, I think, what was a 6th straight win in the Test cricket arena for the Aussies, spanning back to the Ashes. So disappointing, but yeah, we move on and we get, I don't think they play another Test match till they're back here in almost November, so if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, probably not a while.
So. Yeah, I think they wait for our summer, so good rest, but they've obviously now all the attention shifts to probably, they've probably got some white ball games, and then they've got the World Cup coming up in a few months' time. But guys, that'll do us for the Practice Drill podcast this week. The Deciders, a huge podcast, loved it. We've obviously given our predictions, both going Wallabies there in game 3 of their series against England, and we're obviously split on the immediate decider tonight. But guys, 8:10, this is the NRL sponsoring me now, 8:10, Suncorp Stadium, going to be huge. Can't wait to see everyone's reactions to the game, and obviously we'll be tweeting, so if you can't watch the game, cough, cough, Blaze McKee, you know, you'll be kept up to date there on the practice drill. So guys, enjoy the game. Go Queensland, and we'll talk to you all later in the week.
See ya.